Welcome to Inner Peace to Go, your source for practical, proven strategies to reduce stress and make life easier. I'm your host, Sandy Cohen, and I am so glad you're here. Let's dig in. Hey, friends. Welcome back to Inner Peace to Go. Thank you so much for tuning in. So when you make a mistake or do something wrong, do you naturally say to yourself, oh, it's okay, like, you're amazing and I love you? Or do you naturally say to yourself, what the hell, you're always screwing up, I can't believe you? You know, most of us do the latter, right? Most of us have a harsh inner critic who literally never takes a day off. This week, we're going to be talking about what the opposite of that harsh inner critic might look like, and that is self-compassion. Self-compassion is treating yourself kindly, and it's kind of like being your own BFF, right? Self-compassion is talking to yourself the way you would to a friend, especially in a moment of suffering or difficulty. And now this can sound like really squishy and, you know, kind of Pollyanna, but it's not. There are more than 5,000 published scientific papers on the power of self-compassion to increase optimism, boost well-being, increase life satisfaction, boost resilience, improve our sense of purpose, and self-compassion makes us more likely to reach our goals. Self-compassion reduces anxiety, rumination, fear of failure, and self-criticism. To me, it's the opposite of self-criticism. Talking to ourselves with self-compassion is speaking to ourselves kindly. And self-criticism is the opposite, right? Now, one of the premier researchers on self-compassion is Kristen Neff, who's written several books on the subject. I've read two of them, and I was lucky enough to interview her last year for a story that I wrote. And she says, look, self-compassion is not rocket science, and you don't actually have to do that much. What it comes down to is switching your attitude from an inner enemy to an inner ally. And once you make that mental shift, everything starts to change. Self-compassion is really giving ourselves the kind of care and kindness we would to a good friend. And as I mentioned, instead, most of us have a harsh inner critic who works 24/7, and we say things to ourselves that we'd probably never even say to an enemy, much less a friend. For most of us, this inner voice is judgmental, demeaning, and unforgiving. If we make a mistake, the inner critic just piles on the shame and blame, tells us how stupid we are, how much we suck, and how, you know, we'll never get anywhere. But like Dr. Neff says, we can shift this voice from an inner enemy to an inner ally, and we're going to talk about how to do that. But first, I want to share the work of another psychologist, Ethan Cross, who wrote a book called Chatter. And he suggests that one way to create some distance from that inner critical voice is to give that critic a name. So often, we think that that inner critic is ourself, and we think that being harsh and brutal is how we're going to reach our goals and get ourselves to act right. But when we give the critic a name, we can kind of create space, create a little space to recognize that voice as a choice, kind of, or one of the options, right? So my inner critic is named Edna in the Attic, and she kind of looks like the Wicked Witch of the West. And when I hear my inner critical voice, I can be like, oh, that's Edna. Like, thanks, Edna, not helpful. Especially because that critical voice doesn't actually help us reach our goals. There is tons of research by Dr. Neff and others that shows that practicing self-compassion actually makes us more likely to reach our goals. So why? Well, when Edna is in charge, or when your inner critic is, you know, running without limits, then nothing we do is good enough, right? And that inner critical voice lets us know it. And this ends up activating fight or flight, because we literally feel like we're under attack, even though we are also the attacker, or Edna in the Attic, or whatever that inner voice is, the attacker, but we feel like we're under attack. And this sets off the stress response, the fight or flight response, that unleashes a cascade of cortisol and adrenaline. It activates the lizard brain, the amygdala, which is at the back of the brain. This is the fear center of the brain. And then that cuts off access to our prefrontal cortex, which is the most evolved part of the brain. That's where we get higher thinking and new ideas. So self-criticism essentially cuts us off from our own brilliance. Plus, being hard on ourselves creates like a performance anxiety and a fear of failure. Self-criticism makes it hard to learn from our mistakes because we see those mistakes as failures and then we internalize that. So we start to see ourselves as a failure. I'm no good. And then that creates shame, which makes it really hard to summon the kind of self-belief that it takes to try again, to try new things, and to grow. Imagine a situation where, say, your friend goes for a job and doesn't get it. You would quite naturally respond, like, and they tell you about it. You would quite naturally respond with something like, "That sucks. Oh, I'm so sorry you didn't get it. But you are amazing and you're definitely going to find something and, you know, it's their loss." Like, you would naturally respond with such understanding, warmth, and encouragement. And that feels like a boost. Like, yeah, I could do this. But when we ourselves have an experience of not getting hired or not performing as well as we might have liked, we tend to just unleash the hounds, right? You suck. You never do anything right. You're not good enough. And which of those responses makes you want to try again, right? Obviously, the warm and compassionate response is the one that makes you feel like, you know what? I got this. I could totally go for this. Maybe that wasn't a good fit after all, right? Maybe I didn't get that job because I'm destined for something better. So, one of Dr. Neff's most recent studies, she and her colleagues looked at how self-compassion would affect athletic performance in collegiate athletes. They said that athletes often believe that self-criticism is necessary to avoid complacency. So, even though there's research behind self-compassion, they don't want to do it because, you know, they want to exceed their past performance, they want to get better, they want that competitive edge. But in this study, the athletes who participated in an online self-compassion training for just 4 weeks, they experienced less anxiety, less stress, and improved athletic performance as rated by both them and their coaches. So it objectively improved their performance and they felt less stressed. So it is a win-win. And then the really good news is that compassion is something you already know how to do. This, you don't have to learn something new. We are compassionate all the time with our friends and loved ones. Just like the example I just gave of like a friend not getting a job they wanted, you naturally respond with care and kindness. Or imagine your child didn't make the cheerleading team. You would naturally, it's so natural to just respond with like, "Oh, I'm sure you must be so disappointed. You are amazing." Like you would, that is the natural way we respond. That's compassion. Compassion is an emotional response to empathy. Empathy is understanding someone else's feelings, right? Compassion is responding to that by wanting to somehow help alleviate their suffering, to reduce their feelings of suffering. And self-compassion is doing that with ourselves. It's responding to ourselves with love and support. And here's the thing. It is totally free and always available. It's a choice. It's a choice that we can make anytime, and the benefits are huge and proven. So, what gets in the way of self-compassion? I mean, besides decades of practice of giving our inner critic the mic, there are a few things. Perfectionism and its cousin, imposter syndrome, are barriers to self-compassion. And the reason why is because that anything that raises the stakes to inhuman levels or denies the reality of our experience is going to interfere with our ability to be self-compassionate. Because an essential component of compassion and self-compassion is the recognition of suffering. We have to be willing to say, "This sucks. This is suffering." It's when we recognize that suffering and want to respond in a kind way to alleviate it that we're practicing compassion, either self-compassion or compassion towards others. So, how do we do it, right? This all sounds great, but how do I actually do it? So, Dr. Neff says there are three elements to self-compassion. The first is mindfulness, awareness of what is happening without judgment, like identifying reality and calling it what it is. So this isn't a dramatic despair, like, oh, woe is me, hand to forehead. And it's not stiff upper lip. I'm fine. No, not a big deal. It's an equanimous balance observation. This is the recognition of suffering. This is hard. This is suffering. So the first step is noticing it, being aware this is suffering. The second piece is common humanity, or acknowledging that everyone experiences suffering. Suffering is part of life. And people have probably experienced the exact same kind of suffering that we might be going through at any given moment. Breakups, arguments, losses, disappointments, relationship issues, job stuff. This is common to all of us. This is common to humanity. It is normal, it's universal, and anyone experiencing those difficulties would find it painful, would experience it as suffering. So recognizing that we're not alone when we're having a hard time or experiencing suffering is the second part of the self-compassion equation. And then the third element is kindness, being kind to ourselves in a moment of pain. This is where we talk to ourselves like we would to someone we love. And we can even make a gesture, like a loving gesture towards ourselves. Maybe you put your hand on your heart, or maybe, you kind of hold your hands together. And even if you can't summon any kind words in this moment, if Edna in the attic or whoever your inner critic is super harsh, then we can just say something like, may I be kind to myself? May I be kind to myself? Or may I learn to be kind to myself? So, what this would look like in practice is when you have a moment of suffering, being able to first acknowledge it. This is really hard. This really sucks. This is really difficult. Or I feel suffering. I feel pain. So the very first step is to just notice it, not just trudge on through. And you might have to, in noticing it, you might have to notice that you're already beating yourself up around it. And that's also suffering. But to just recognize that this is really hard. And then step two is to recognize I'm not the only one who's ever experienced this. Lots of people have experienced this and may even be experiencing it right now. I mean, with 8 billion of us on the planet, someone's going through a hard time right now too, right? So recognizing I'm not alone, this is suffering, and this is part of life. And then the third step, may I be kind to myself. May I be kind to myself in this moment of suffering. And you can say even more to yourself. I mean, if you can summon it, if you can turn the volume down on the critic enough, you can say, oh, honey, that is so lame. I'm so sorry. But everything's going to be okay. I'm with you. I got you. Just like you would talk to a friend, right? And again, this is not going to come supernaturally if your inner critic is the one who speaks up first, but this is a skill that you can learn. This is something that you can get better at. And once you recognize that, oh, I always give my inner critic the mic, and that's just one of the available voices, I could talk to myself kindly, and I actually know how to do that because I talk to my friends kindly, I talk to my partner kindly, I talk to my kids kindly. You can start to make room for this response instead. And as I said before, there's so many benefits. There's so many benefits to being kind to ourselves. And honestly, there's so many benefits that making us more likely to reach our goals might not even be the biggest one. I mean, self-compassion increases empathy. It makes us more empathetic towards others, towards ourselves. That means we can more easily recognize what others are feeling, more easily recognize when we ourselves are feeling what we're feeling, or when we're feeling suffering. Self-compassion supports our authenticity. As Brené Brown says, authenticity is letting go of being who we think we should be so we can be who we are. When we are self-compassionate, it's so much easier to be who we really are because we're not going to judge ourselves and berate ourselves for falling short of some ideal. We can just notice that, yeah, this is, I'm human. I'm as fallible and flawed as any other human. The increased empathy and increased authenticity deepens the connections that we have. It deepens our relationships with our loved ones, with clients, with friends. It makes our relationships better. It reduces our fear of failure. Self-compassion supports our growth. And it increases the sense of inner peace that comes from knowing that we have our own back and we're not going to kick ourselves when we're down. As I said at the start, self-compassion really is part of being our own best friend. I know it sounds totally corny, but we literally have a choice. We can berate ourselves and feel like shit and activate the stress response and flood our system with cortisol. Or we can talk to ourselves the way we already talk to the people we love. We can just offer that to ourselves and then get all of these benefits, all of these benefits that are proven by science and thousands of studies. So may I invite us all to practice self-compassion when things don't go our way this week and for weeks and weeks to come. Remember the three steps. It's mindfulness, common humanity, and kindness are the three elements. And recognizing those in a moment of suffering and just see if you can summon it. It takes less than a minute. And so I really hope that this is helpful and useful to you. You know, turning the volume down on Edna in the Attic has been a game changer for me, a huge game changer for me. I used to just beat myself up constantly. And then ironically wonder, like, why am I not happy? Why do I feel so ill at ease? Yeah, part of it was the way I was talking to myself. And practicing self-compassion is a wonderful antidote, and it's available to you right now. So thank you so much for listening. I love this opportunity to connect on these topics that mean so much to me and to us and to our inner peace. You know, we deserve inner peace. Life is already so challenging. Like, anything we can do to cultivate ease inside ourselves, in my view, is totally worth doing. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Please subscribe to the show if you like it. Tell a friend. And I invite you to message me. I would love to hear from you. You can email me at innerpeacetogo@gmail.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at YouKnowSandy. So thanks again. Talk to you soon. Hey, if you want to keep the peaceful vibes going, get on my email list. I'd love to send you my free ebook, The Ultimate Stress Busters Guide, packed with actionable steps to bring on the chill. Plus, I'll send you more tips and inspiration every week. There's a link in the show notes, and I'll see you in your inbox.